That is.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. We had talked before, and by the way, the January 6th panel is going to convene again today at 9 o'clock Central Time, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, for another hearing, another broadcast. By the way, the one on Thursday has been postponed, has been rescheduled, because they say they got additional information. My suspicion is they got additional information from Cipollone, Pat Cipollone, the White House counsel, and they're digesting it. So there's only one hearing this week, just today. If you have time, you may want to look at it. It's going to be very important in my view. There is a tie-in between the Trump people and the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. It's going to be highlighted, and there's going to be some testimony from the video deposition of Pat Cipollone. But I want to revisit why Cassidy Hutchinson was rushed into testimony when it looked like they were going to take a recess for the July 4th recess. That's supposedly dead time in the summer where all the congressmen go home and they all they campaign and that kind of thing, and they hang around picnics and they try to get themselves reelected. Suddenly, though, the panel hastily convened a hearing, and Cassidy Hutchinson was the star witness, and it may be that her testimony will be as significant as Alexander Butterfield's was, what, 50 years ago? Almost 50 years ago in the Watergate hearing. He's the guy, deputy chief of staff, who for the first time revealed that there were tape recordings of the telephone calls and the meetings in the White House. And when people heard in Nixon's own voice what he was up to, that's when he was forced to step down. Well, in this one, it's not tape recordings, but it doesn't have to be. Trump says his stuff right on TV, right on video, but Cassidy Hutchinson is the one who testified that the Secret Service was keeping people away from him because when they went through metal detectors, they had AR-15s, brass knuckles, knives. A couple of them had homemade napalm, gasoline stuffed with stuff that could have exploded as napalm. Homemade explosives, spears, poles with tips on them, that kind of thing. And Trump said, well, what about all those people over on the Washington Monument lawn? They said, well, they won't go through a metal detector and they've got to keep them away. He said, no, no, no. Get rid of the metal detectors. They're not here to hurt me. Then we're going to march up to the Capitol. What were those weapons? If they're not there to hurt him, who are they there to hurt? They were there to hurt Capitol police officers, guarding congressmen so they could get to the congressmen themselves. But the thing that alarmed Liz Cheney and Benny Thompson and the rest were threatening calls that Cassidy Hutchinson got. The one that is particularly anonymous, it goes like this, an anonymous call, quote, a person let me know you have your deposition tomorrow. He wants me to let you know he's thinking about you. He knows you're loyal and you're going to do the right thing when you go in for your deposition tomorrow. This is the kind of thing the mafia does. Mike Cohen, Michael Cohen, remember, he was the lawyer for Trump that went to prison. He actually went to prison. He went to the slammer, among other things, for his role in the Stormy Daniels settlement. And in that indictment, a criminal charge against Michael Cohen, there's reference to unindicted co-conspirator one, which is Donald Trump. Donald Trump had the relationship with Stormy Daniels. Michael Cohen never met Stormy Daniels, but Michael Cohen went to jail and Trump did not. And that was the least of Trump's offenses. He said he got the same call. He got the same call. And in a lot of these calls, they also put, quote, remember that he reads transcripts. Remember that he reads transcripts. Where is Cassidy Hutchinson now? She's unemployed, and she's sequestered with her family and a security detail at public expense. Sequestered means that you are holed up somewhere, typically in an unknown location. It's a witness protection program. so that you can't be killed. We're talking here about a woman who worked in the White House and is giving truthful testimony about Donald Trump. She's not giving testimony about organized crime, about the mafia, about a drug cartel. How have we gotten to the point? How have we gotten to the point where she has to fear for her life? She has to be sequestered. She's unemployed. She can't show up to work somewhere for fear of being killed. She's sequestered with her family and a security detail. Why should she need a security detail? Why should Dr. Fauci need a security detail? Why should these people need security details at public expense? Because there is a cult of Trump that is threatening murder. And you know, I'm very tired at the lack of prosecution. You can't tell me the CIA can't trace that call, okay? I don't believe that. If it came from Russia, they could trace the call. So if it came from Hoboken, New Jersey, they should be able to trace the call. Some people say, well, there's always a First Amendment. Yeah, there's a First Amendment. Let them say to a jury that they have a First Amendment right to threaten a witness. That's baloney. But a lot of them will say, well, it's very, very oblique statements. Well, we know you're having your deposition. He wants me to let you know he thinks you're loyal. He reads transcripts. They want to say, well, that's nothing wrong with that. Well, there's plenty wrong with that. Go to the lines. Pete of Loyal, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Pete?
Yeah, I'm on the way to Loyal for Farm Technology Day, also from Milwaukee. Calling to see whether he wanted to talk about whether the way WPMJ4 is running that candidate debate is actually a corporate contribution to five of the people running for the Democratic nomination for the U.S. Senate. I'm one of the guys running. I'm not going to be on the debate stage. My name is Peter Prekarski.
Okay, yeah, well, here's the thing. We're talking about Cassidy Hutchinson, but I'm happy to have you call in. Peter, you're a candidate for U.S. Senate. So everybody knows, the election is 4 weeks from today, by the way, guys. 4 weeks from today, August 9, is a primary. We have a candidate for the U.S. Senate on the phone, Peter Prekarski. So go ahead. You have your innings. Have your say, Peter, but then I'm going to get back to Cassidy Hutchinson and the January 6th panel. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running and what your concern is about the debate.
Yeah, I'm running because this is what I can do for our country. The concern about the debate is because they set up, it looks like the only statewide televised debate. They set up some standards, one of which is you got to show significant support throughout the state of Wisconsin, which you can demonstrate by getting 5,000 contributions. According to them, if 5,000 people living in Hawaii contribute a buck apiece, you got 5,000 contributions. That's significant statewide support. Other way is 5% on the Marquette poll. To get 5% on the Marquette poll, the sample size was like 360. That's 18 people. Given the way they had a sample, that means if 18 people in the city of Milwaukee say they want to vote for somebody, and nobody in the other 71 counties says that, then according to the political editor down at WTMJ, you've got significant statewide support throughout the state of Wisconsin, and you're on the debate stage for an hour. The cost of that airtime is about $600,000 if you just go and buy it in non-preemptible 30s. So it's, and they're a corporation. They're using stuff, property that belongs to UMAT, the airwaves. So they got to have a license to use the public airwaves to broadcast that. It belongs not only to you, but to all 330 million people in this country. So those are some of the concerns I could go in. Oh, yeah, there's a journalistic set of journalistic ethics guidelines on the website of the WTMJ4. It says they're going to be honest. They're going to be impartial in political matters. And there's some real serious questions as to whether they're following their own guidelines. On top of that, the president of the corporation has to told the Securities and Exchange Commission he's got to sign a form every year saying he's operating in a code with their corporate business code, which requires honesty in business. And there's a real question whether this is an honest way to do it. If he doesn't sign a form saying he's running an honest business, he might not get the $7.3 million he's supposed to get.
Peter, I want to thank you for calling in. I want to just say to everybody, We're hearing now from Peter Pekarsky, who's one of the candidates. He has his signatures. He's on the ballot. You'll see his name on the ballot on August 9. Whatever you do, get out and vote. There's a primary for U.S. Senate in 4 weeks from today. And there are a number of, I think there are eight candidates for the Senate on. Peter Pekarsky is one of them. But also there's a contest for lieutenant governor, for Secretary of State, for treasurer. Very important elections on the Democratic side. Be sure to get out and vote. Be sure to get out. Peter, thanks very much for calling in. I want to get back before
Thank
the end
Matt.
Of the segment
day.
To Cassidy Hutchinson and the January 6th hearing. These threatening mafia-like calls are coming in, and they're not being prosecuted. And because prosecutors are going, oh, well, they're ambiguous. There's nothing ambiguous to saying, quote, a person let me know you have your deposition tomorrow. He wants me to let you know he's thinking about you. He knows you're loyal and you're going to do the right thing when you're going for your deposition. The right thing is speaking the truth. That's the only right thing. And then sometimes they go on and say he reads transcripts. That is a threat. Prosecute these people. For Pete's sake, prosecute these people. And when you're in front of a jury, if their lawyer wants to get up and say, oh, he was just being nice to her. He's being nice to her. He just wanted to know that he was thinking of her and that he just wanted to tell her to do the right thing, which is tell the truth. Really, she's sequestered with her family. She's sequestered with her family and a security detail, unemployed. She's in a witness protection program. Nobody in their right mind looks at that phone call and says it was benign. It was not benign. It was a mafia call. And how we came to a point where the cult of Trump is intimidating witnesses in front of the January 6th committee, that's a congressional committee. If they do it in front of grand juries, and Michael Cohen did give testimony to prosecutors, if they do that in the Fulton County, that's Atlanta, grand jury investigating the extortion of Brad Raffensperger, that's got to be prosecuted too. I mean, at some point, if you're not going to prosecute witness intimidation and tampering in front of a congressional committee and in front of a grand jury that's investigating a felony, if you're not going to investigate that, you're contributing to the erosion of the rule of law in this country. The one thing that you have got to have is a fair criminal process. It's fair to the defense, fair to the prosecution, and fair to the public. You have got to have that. And right now, we do not have that completely, because right now, what's happening is that witnesses are being intimidated. How long is she going to have to be in the witness protection program, Cassidy Hutchinson? Michael Cohen said that he was so frightened that when he agreed to testify to Congress and got these phone calls saying, we know you'll do the right thing, hint, hint, instead of flying to D.C. from New York, there's a shuttle, which is what you normally do. Instead of flying from Washington, D.C. to New York, he drove and he semi-disguised himself. He wore sunglasses, which he never did, and a baseball hat, and he was careful where he stopped. How is this possible? I mean, at one time in the 1950s, there was an investigation of organized crime, and there is an investigation of the attempt by organized crime to penetrate labor unions, which was unsuccessful. Labor unions are very honest, and they stood up to it, but they didn't deserve to be threatened. The longshoremen didn't deserve to be threatened. But that was the 1950s, and that was organized crime. I mean, this is Trump. This is the Luca Brasi, as described by Paul Ryan, of our present culture. We're coming to a break, and I'll tell you what, there's a lot more ahead of us, a lot more back after the break.
The greatest radio show ever could be your greatest advertising investment ever. Partner with the Devil's Advocates and activate our loyal, educated, and engaged audience today. In-show interviews and sponsored special events considered across Wisconsin. Affordable digital and terrestrial ads available in Chicago and Minneapolis and directly on the Devil Radio app. Make a deal with the Devils and get the Devils have kids bump to your bottom line. Call or text 844-967-2789 today.